Michael Casey, let's talk movies. Out now in limited release is a brand new French romance drama called Scarlet.
Yeah, and this is very limited release. This is just going to be playing down at the C Film Center in Denver. But this was one I was really excited to see because it's from the Italian director, Pietro Marcello. His previous film, Martin Eden, was one of my favorite movies of 2020. So anytime you've got someone who has such a riveting story come out with a second movie, you got to follow it up. And Scarlet's good. I mean, it's one of the most beautiful movies I think I've ever seen. I should point out that the cinematographer is Marco Gazzapelin. I apologize to Marco because I'm sure I butchered his name. But this movie is spectacular. The phrase, every frame a painting, gets thrown around a lot when we talk about movies that are beautiful. But this one in particular, it looks like it was inspired by Rembrandt and El Greco. You could pause this movie and just take a scene and just throw it up on your wall in a museum and it would just look spectacular. And that is really the driving force behind this because this is kind of a fable. This is, I believe it's based off of a Russian novel that's got these like fairy tale aspects, but really the story takes place in 1918. A French countryside man is coming back from war. His name is Raphael. He's a laborer. His hands are very much hardened by like years and years of manual labor, but they're also very delicate. He plays the accordion. He can tune a piano. He can carve a beautiful face out of wood. So the juxtaposition of this very large, imposing individual with this delicateness of art, which is kind of what the movie is going for here. It's playing in that realm. He returns from war and he finds out that his wife has died in the interim and he meets his daughter for the first time. Her name is Juliette. And he's trying to raise her kind of because he's not really great at being a dad. The countryside is bankrupt because of the war and finding work is really hard to come by. And there's a lot of opportunists out there. And you get the sense that, I mean, like France won, but like they come back and they're like, what did we win for? I should also point out that Raphael and Juliette get a little bit of a short shrift from the rest of the community that isn't fully expounded upon. I think you can probably read between the lines. There is a witch character that plays a role in this movie, kind of in an off camera kind of way, but like every now and then she interjects. And the movie kind of folds through and you think you're following Raphael, but really what you're following is Juliette. She's played by three actresses in three different ages, but the main one is Juliette Jouan as a young woman. And this is where like the fable aspect kind of comes in. Scarlet is a reference to this poem that, you know, one day her real life will begin and scarlet sails will appear and take her away from here. And you can tell that she's not 100% sure if she wants to leave. She really enjoys this area, but that there's more in this world that she's looking for. And I will say that as you're watching this movie, there are moments that are just breathtakingly gorgeous, which kind of carry the fact that the story can be a little languidly paced from time to time. It's like a summer afternoon, like a warm summer afternoon, where you're not in any real hurry to do anything or go anywhere. And in pockets, that really works in this movie. And it kind of casts this spell over you. But there's a lot of times where you're just like, I'm not 100% sure where this movie is driving me. It doesn't have that real riveting kind of impetus to it that carries you from scene to scene. There are some aspects, some characters that show up that carry the movie through like the aspects of violence. There's also a romance between Louis Garrel, who plays this pilot who crashes in Juliette's little village. And they start a romance and it's beautiful. And maybe he's the one who's going to take her away. There is a character in the town, kind of a street urchin, who thinks he's the one who's going to take her away. So you do have that conflict and you do have like these aspects of these characters that might bring us to some sort of apotheosis. But, you know, you don't really worry about that too much when the scenes are this gorgeous. The sunlight dappling through leaves or like the way it casts like this glow over a summer pond. Or even the way that Juliette looks as she's like leaning against a tree resting. I mean, these all look like Renaissance paintings at times. And you're like, that's, I think, what Marcello was really going for in the movie. I think that was his main aim. Probably not the story, probably not the narrative. Just focusing on the characters and putting them in these beautiful landscapes. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit slower, that's a little bit more just sit and appreciate the image, then I think you might like Scarlet. If you're looking for a whole lot of action and drama, then this is not going to be the movie for you. But if it is, it'll be playing this week at the C Film Center in Denver.
Well, gosh, Michael Casey, let's talk action dramas. Out next Wednesday in wide release will be the latest action blockbuster from the Mission Impossible series.
Yeah, it's Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. And I feel like it does a little bit of a disservice telling you right up front that it is Part 1 because you know going into this thing, you're only going to get half a story. And that aspect of the movie is a little frustrating. I will say that there's something very fascinating about this movie because if you've been following the news, then you know about the tourist voyage to the Titanic, the submarine that imploded and killed all those people, and it was a terrible tragedy. This movie opens with a submarine sinking and all of the cast and the crew dying in the prologue of this movie. Now, if you've seen Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, you've seen a scene where our main characters fight on top of a train for an extended period of time. And I'm telling you, this movie, Mission Impossible, ends with another fight on a train, which is strange because you know these movies take years to put together. So there's no way that any of this is in conjunction. But my God, watching this movie, all I could think about is this seems extremely relevant right now for what's going on, both in pop culture and in reality. It's also extremely relevant because the villain of this movie, believe it or not, is a self-aware artificial intelligence algorithm. It's called The Entity, and it is controlled. The MacGuffin of this movie is a two keys that form kind of this crucifix. And this is what everyone in this movie is after. And what's interesting about that is that the keys are essentially a MacGuffin to them as well. They don't know what the keys do. They don't know what it unlocks or where it's going to unlock whatever it does unlock. So you have a lot of enemies, both domestic and foreign, trying to find these two pieces of the keys. This, of course, is all led by Ethan Hunt, played by ageless wonder Tom Cruise. And his old team is back. We've got Simon Pegg. We've got Ving Rhames, Rebecca Ferguson. You've seen a whole cast of characters of the previous movies are coming back for here, especially Vanessa Kirby as the White Widow. That's all fascinating. What's really interesting about this movie is that the villain, other than the entity, is Isai Morales, plays Gabriel. Gabriel is kind of like a spokesperson for the entity, which I don't fully grasp, and I don't know if it's fully explained in the movie, but he is this knife-wielding high priestess of the next stage of human evolution or technological evolution. And if that sounds odd to you, it feels very odd in the movie, especially a couple of scenes where he delivers these large monologues. But he also has a history with Hunt, which means that Ethan Hunt is hunting down Gabriel because it's personal, but nothing's personal with Gabriel, which makes him very this detached kind of like assassin. But this is a movie that has just a lot of set pieces, a lot of action, and it's all spectacular because there's a real commitment here to the physical aspect of stunt work. You know, they're trying to get around not using computers as much as they humanly can. And when it comes down to performers of just sheer physical presence, Tom Cruise really kind of stands in a class on his own these days. What he can bring to a screen, what he can convey with his body, just watching him run for like 10 minutes on a movie screen is just kind of enchanting. And he brings all of that here to this character. And since he's a producer, he does a really good job of making sure that this really large budgeted movie, which I believe is at $280 million, it all ends up on the screen. You really do see it. It is a globe-trotting spy espionage movie with lots of action and adventure. We're in Rome, we're in the Alps, we're in Abu Dhabi, we're in Venice. There's great scenes in Venice. It's all up there on the screen. You get to enjoy all of that. There is a very large cast. Sometimes it's hard to keep track of it, but that is by design because this is a series built on crosses and double crosses and wait, who was that guy and what team is he playing for? And that all leads to the confusion and a little bit of the dourness of this movie. The dourness actually isn't helped very much by the music, which is the score is by Lauren Balfe. Kind of casts a pall over this movie. I feel like it should be a little bit more up, but I will say that if you're looking for just action, this is the movie for you. If you're looking for a story that has a beginning, middle, and end, you're not going to get it because this is just part one, but it is a summer blockbuster, and it is something to go see on the biggest screen you can find this summer as it heats up. It is Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
Well, Michael Casey, for more information about you and for your reviews, where can people go?
Go to boulderweekly.com online worldwide. If you're in the county, go ahead and pick up the paper. If you're looking for more movie reviews, you can always go to michaeljcinema.com. That's where you get to find over a decade's worth of movie reviews, film festival coverages, streaming recommendation, interviews with filmmakers. All of that and more is at michaeljcinema.com.